Vacationland Theme Park Podcast is brought to you by Magical Vacation Planner by Karis for help planning your next Disney vacation getaway for any of the holidays. Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, and Alani, Universal Studios Orlando and Royal Caribbean, Princess Carnival Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Karis on Facebook or by visiting magicalvacationplanner.com/staff/Karis, CARISSMILANO. We are also brought to you by Dr. Skipper's Etsy store for all of your Kiki Jungle related needs. Visit Dr. Skipper on Etsy. Coming up this week on the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, it's the merriest podcast on the internet with an all new episode. Disneyland announces a rehab to one of its most popular attractions. Knott's Berry Farm announces a return, sort of, for an old favorite. And Disney Vacation Club announces an all-new way for you to spend time and $25,000 at the Disneyland Hotel. Plus, we take our first look at some of the upcoming holiday celebrations at the parks. So, haul out the holly and spike the eggnog. This is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. Vacationland Theme Park Podcast for the episode number 39 for the week of December 2nd, 2019. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, a discussion of the latest news, reviews, and history from all of the Southern California theme parks and beyond, brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts. My name is Chris Ramirez, and I am the host and executive producer of the show, and today I am joined by associate producer Brandis Strotman. Hello, Brandis.
Hello.
Knott's Berry Farm reporter and permanent John Strotman. Welcome back, John.
I'm glad to be back, Chris.
And of course, from our YouTube channel, Karen Fan is here. Hi, Karen.
Greetings.
Karen's very excited today.
You had to out enthusiastic me.
I did. But you were like, you snuck right in. Like before Chris had even finished, you were like, greetings.
All right. So welcome back, everyone. I know it's been a while since we've been all together here. You know, once again, I apologize for the inconsistency. It's been another wild month. I've had a lot of things going on with work. Brandis' son was in a play, and it was great. How was that? How did that go?
Ooh, outside of the microphone trouble, it was good.
Yeah, of which she looks at me because I actually am partially responsible.
You're not responsible. You were just, thankfully, you were there opening night to fix it, sort of.
Yeah. For shame.
I know.
I can't believe you. I mean, what is the point of having you as a friend if you can't make sure that she's perfect and everybody else has microphone troubles?
Well, you know, that's we've discussed that. She actually, we met at Starbucks and she had a child specifically so she could put him in theater in the pageant or in the Christmas play. And
you were still useless. Gotta
she met
better,
me
Chris.
So she could have a kid so she could meet you.
Yeah, and see, it's and a circle of life. Yes, yeah. a circle of life.
Now so. Do better. All I mean, right. Look Did at
I,
all
yeah,
the work.
Yeah, I met you before I met Chris.
Actually, no. I think you knew Chris before me.
No, because I met you like after I'd only been working at Starbucks for a few months.
Okay. Well, we didn't plan on having a kid at that point.
So. Oh, no.
Well, maybe you did. I don't know.
Did or did
maybe
she
did.
Ooh. No.
Secret I mean, secrets. The end result is Brandis put in a lot of hard work to get you to give her perfect mics. That's and
awful. True.
You failed her so far.
Well, I mean, this has been a long time coming, and clearly I'm underperforming here. So,
do better. So,
we are taping this the Sunday of Sunday after Thanksgiving. I will go around the table. You guys are on opposite ends of the table, but you were at the same Thanksgiving. I'm assuming. I don't want to assume anything. But Brandis and John, how was your Thanksgiving?
It's good. It was food and family and
outside of the rain making our drive terrifying. It was really good.
I thought you were going to bring up microphone troubles at Thanksgiving again.
microphone troubles. No, Chris, you weren't there.
No,
my stepdad handled that.
Yeah. No, for people who aren't from Southern California, people like to joke that Southern California doesn't know what to do in the rain. Let me just say one thing is because we rarely get rain, our roads get filled with oil. So when it rains, it gets extra slippery.
And it floods.
And so it was just like absolute white knuckling driving 30 minutes to my in-law's house when it was raining its heaviest, when we had flash flood warnings like everywhere in Orange County. That was the only complaint about Thanksgiving was how scary it was to get there and get home. But we obviously made it safely.
Right. Clearly.
Well, because I drove home. and I'm a safe driver.
I drove there.
Yeah.
I know, but it wasn't as scary as you thought it was. It really wasn't.
It was. Like, we hit that one puddle, and I could hear it. I could hear the tires wanting to hydroplane.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw, but they actually closed Disneyland and California Adventure and Knott's Berry Farm as well.
Yeah.
Although
we just wanted to go home.
Yeah, nobody gave much attention to Knott's.
Well,
the big story was that Disneyland and California Adventure closed early.
That's because Knott's, most of their rides are outdoors, so a lot of their rides get closed with just the tiniest bit of rain.
Yeah. So,
it's normal. Yeah. We're used to it.
But Disneyland, I think Disneyland, on the other hand, I think it was just a convenient excuse. I don't think they were getting the attendance that they thought they were going to get ahead of time. So they said, oh, look, it's going to rain really kind of hard. So let's close anyway. So So I think that played a little bit of a factor into it. But anyways, I'm glad you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for being here.
And how was your Thanksgiving, Chris?
My Thanksgiving was, we'll get to mine. Karen, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was very bougie.
Yeah, it was. Karen brought me food.
Karen brought me leftovers. So I drove my parents in the rain. We went to do our standard. So we had a brunch at the country club. Then there's a lot of judging going on right now from the
table. Those are phrases that I don't hear from a lot of friends of mine.
Yeah, like I've never heard anybody say that before is all.
So we had brunch at the country club. Then we picked up leftovers. And then because they sell to-go boxes as well. Then we went home and then did movies. And the Knives Out is very good. Please go watch it.
Oh, cool.
Is that in theaters or is that on Netflix?
It's in theaters.
Yeah, I was going to say it's playing at the theater by your parents' house, John.
Okay. I don't know what it is. What's Knives Out?
It is. So Knives Out is by Rian Johnson, and it is basically this really good spoof that's also not quite a spoof on like Agatha Christie mysteries and like Clue and things like that.
That looks good.
So it was a lot of fun. It was way better than Kenneth Branagh's Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh, which I didn't. So. I did enjoy that. Did you not enjoy that one?
Not quite as much. Okay. It was very pretty, but I felt it could have been better.
Because they're making another one.
They are. Yeah, apparently they did well enough to have a second one.
Death on the Nile.
And then we ate leftovers and then I watched Hallmark movies, which is like super.
Yeah, we had a Hallmark movie marathon. Not by my choice, but we had a Hallmark movie.
I've been meaning
marathon.
To watch those just because I keep seeing all the memes.
They're
on
not
it.
Good. Look, they're not good.
No. They are amazing.
Watch them because so back when I was in my early 20s and single, my favorite thing when I had a hangover was to watch Lifetime movies.
Oh, okay.
And so everyone's like, there's all these meme about Hallmark movies and. I never watched them because even Lifetime movies are pretty bad. It's like a hangover activity.
No. Yeah. This is like...
So I've been wanting to, after seeing all the memes, I'm like, I really got to watch some of that.
Watch the Christmas ones. The Christmas ones.
The Christmas ones are amazing. I will send you and John bingo sheets so you can play Hallmark Christmas movie bingo while you watch.
I thought bingo sheets was the name of one of the Hallmark movies. And I'm like...
One of the newer movies, The Christmas Club, is very good. So you should all watch The Christmas Club. Okay.
Me and my wife have a game where when we come upon the home, on the cable, when you bring up, whatever it is on cable, it'll give you a description of the movie. So what we'll do is we'll either read the name of the movie and then try to guess the plot, or we'll give a plot and then we have to try to guess the name of the movie. And sometimes what we come up with is better than what they've come up with.
Nice.
But yeah. Hallmark movies. Yeah, Karen loves Hallmark movies. We know that.
I do.
She watched them on our cruise.
I do.
We went to Alaska. And speaking of our cruise to Alaska, that video is going to be coming up pretty soon on YouTube, our Alaska cruise, which Karen makes a couple of cameos in that. My Thanksgiving was great. It was a small Thanksgiving, but it was fun nonetheless. We had way too much food.
I saw your usual ham.
Yeah, we had the ham.
You don't like turkey because you're weird.
I love turkey.
Oh.
I love turkey. Other people in my life do not like turkey.
Okay. That's just really weird.
If I'd have known, I would have swapped out the ham for turkey.
So, yeah. Usually
we
make
Chris a lot of leftovers today. Yeah,
usually we make, and I have plenty of turkey left over. Usually we make just a ham and a small turkey. This year, what I really wanted to do this year was just go out to a restaurant. I just did didn't want to deal with it. My mother-in-law just moved down from Northern California. So she really wanted to do cooking for Thanksgiving. And I said, as long as I don't have to do it, and I don't have to do the dishes, be my guest. And she brought a big turkey and she brought a big ham from Costco. And it was great. We had a lot of fun. We watched Christmas movies and made fun of them. And
which movies?
It was the Hallmark movies.
Oh, the Hallmark
movies. Yeah. Which ones?
So not Elf?
All I know, not Elf. Yeah, no, not Elf. Matter of fact, that was on TV the other day, and my wife stopped at that movie, and I was like, really? Really? This makes no sense to anybody at home. I don't know which one it was, but I know that she was a big city businesswoman gone to a small town, and something about a mill, and they had to sell the mill, and they had like 40 little Christmas trees because they couldn't afford a big one. Anyways,
how do 40 little Christmas trees?
That was my question. That was my question.
You pay by the foot.
I don't see, but I think because like the town owned a mill, or there was a mill in the town.
Was this the one? Okay, so this is the town owns a mill, and the person who owns the mill actually wants to retire, and she wants to move away so she can be closer towards her grandchildren.
Yes,
and the lady comes back to the town and the guy who is like second in command of the mill.
Yeah, which is her, really which wishes. Is her son.
No, he's great. Yeah. And he's the hero of the story. Okay. And so basically he's trying to convince her like we should keep the mill, but nobody can afford to buy the mill. So it's a very complicated story. And the Christmas trees come into play because they couldn't get one big one in time. So they got a bunch of small ones.
Yeah. So that's exactly what it was.
And I just remembered I'm boycotting Hallmark Channel. So now I'm wondering how I could see those movies.
Oh.
So I'm going to have to pirate one of the Hallmark movies.
Talk to me after this. I can assist you with this.
Yep. Karen can definitely assist you. All right. Well, that's Hallmark movie talk and the holidays. We have one more show coming up on in December before we take our annual holiday break. And that's going to be coming up in 2 weeks. So right before Christmas, we'll do one more show, and then we will be gone until sometime in January. But until then, we're going to keep on. And it's time for the lightning round. Lightning round story today, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more on our next show, but I did want to bring this up. Snow White's Not So Scary Adventure at Disneyland is going to be undergoing a makeover of sorts, and it's not the first time that it's undergone a makeover. When it opened in 1955, it was actually a much, believe it or not, much scarier version of the one that it is, because it was the 50s, and the 50s were a weird time in America for children's entertainment. So much so that when Snow White's Scary Adventure opened up with the park in 1955, it was actually just Snow White's Adventure. So then they toned it down, and it is what it is today, but they renamed it Snow White's Scary Adventure. And now if you look in Fantasyland, of course, you know, the queen pops forward. The queen pops out of the window, and it says Snow White's Scary Adventure, and you go through kind of like the queen, Evil Queen's castle. Disneyland plans to take the scary ending out of Snow White's Scary Adventures and add a happily ever after finale to the classic Fantasyland dark ride that was an opening day attraction at the Anaheim theme park. Walt Disney Imagineering will update the interior and exterior, which I'm not a huge fan of. I'm a fan of the current one. I don't like the change in the exterior of the Snow White's Scary Adventure attraction during an extended renovation in 2020. The revamped attraction will conclude with Snow White reunited with her animal friends as a castle shimmers in the distance, similar to the ending of the actual film. The ride currently ends with a bolt of lightning sending the Wicked Witch tumbling to her death from a mountaintop with a terrifying scream. So Karen actually sent me this story. What do you think, really quick, because we're going to talk about this a little bit more next week. What do you think of them changing the ending of this?
I reserve judgment until I see what they do, because I feel like it could really go either way. So
let me ask you a question of the three. When was the last time anybody watched Snow White?
Well, we haven't gotten Disney Plus yet.
which I do have, but I've been watching.
If you want to borrow the DVD, I can lend it to you.
It's been a while since we've watched it, right? Probably about 10 years or so.
Oh, I don't remember watching it ten years ago.
I watched it with Jason.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, I think the last time I saw it was in the theater with my paternal grandfather.
Right. Yeah.
I was recently scarred in an experience with the Evil Queen, so.
Would you care to elaborate? Karen was at. Okay, so side story. We were at the Moonlight Madness event for DVC members, and they had a kind of a, they had, you know, character you could take pictures with, but one of them was like a walkway with like nothing but villains, and one of them was the old, they call her the old hag, which is the Evil Queen when she's all
scary.
Yeah, which is all scary. And so she was really scary and really scary to Karen. So there are.
Okay, here I am minding my own business. There's a little table and they're like, put all your stuff down so it's not in the pictures. And I was like, cool. So I'm putting my stuff down, you know, like the bad gal, making myself look presentable. I turn around and there's the old hag with her little wart nose, like right in my face.
Several times. And if this is a preview of what Karen is like at Halloween Horror, not Halloween Horror Nights, at that Not Scary Farm, we are taking to Karen. She was scared by the Disney character.
Nice.
So
she was scary.
She was pretty scary.
You all thought it was hilarious because she didn't go after any of you. Yeah, like there I am normally minding my own business.
Can smell your fear.
I swear to God, I turned
it's
around.
It's the warty nose.
She's so there you go. She was like a ninja.
Yeah.
Like you didn't even hear her walking up.
Like a creepy old lady.
Yeah. So, but anyways, but the movie, the reason I ask if when was the last time anybody saw the movie was because the movie is actually, it's dark.
Yeah.
The movie is dark.
It is.
The movie is creepy.
And creepy. And again, because
it's got necrophilia.
She had like the queen. I was like, with Aaron, actually, our former co-host, I was talking about this. Like the queen literally gives the huntsman a box with a heart on it and a knife through the heart. You can't change what the movie is. It is what it is. So, I don't know.
I feel like there's a part of me that says, well, the original, the original vision that Walt had was for it to be scary.
Right, yeah.
You know? So it's like, that's kind of like, you want to hold true to that. That's a whole argument, though, of like, old versus new.
Right.
It's hard to...
And I guess...
But like Karen says, reserving judgment is kind of smart because it might actually... Right. Super awesome.
And those Fantasyland rides have never been known for being consistent to the stories of the movie. So anyways. So
that's Mr. Toad's kind of scary too.
It is very scary.
Yeah, they're all kind of scary. I mean, hello, you're swallowed by a whale.
Yeah.
Well, that's in the Bible though.
I mean, do you see how many
not Pinocchio, but whale swallowing people.
It took me a second.
Have you seen how many kids come out of Snow White? Like freaking the crap out. They're crying.
Mr. Toad, you literally go to hell in Mr. Toad's ride, you know, Wild Ride. So I wonder how, with all of this change, I wonder how long that one, people would chain themselves to the front door of that ride.
Peter Pan's not really scary.
No,
it's
Peter
not,
Pan's
it's
not scary.
It's the only one. I feel like that's why the line for that is always so long.
I think it's because it's your riding on the things.
I agree.
Like hanging from the ceiling. That to me is like, what was the coolest thing about that ride?
That's scary.
That's not scary.
See? It can be scary.
So can Disney characters.
Mechanical failure terrifies me.
There's that one part where you like swoop down. Like
mechanical failure terrifies me.
Yeah, you're fun at an amusement park.
All right. Well, with that, let's move on to park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of LA.
All right, and John is here to read the news. John, what's going on? What's going on at Disneyland? Lots going on.
Well, Disneyland to give Indiana Jones Adventure a 300,000 overhaul in 2020.
Foolish mortals! You looked into my eyes. Your path now leads to the gates of doom.
Perpetually collapsing bridge over a molten lava flow in the crumbling Temple of the Forbidden Eye will finally get repaired after nearly a quarter century when Disneyland's Indiana Jones Adventure attraction undergoes a renovation in 2020. Disneyland filed a building permit with the City of Anaheim for a $300,000 overhaul of Indiana Jones Adventure, according to city records. Disneyland officials confirmed that the Indiana Jones Adventure motion-based dark ride is scheduled for refurbishment in 2020. Disneyland filed a building permit with the City of Anaheim for a $300,000 overhaul of Indiana Jones Adventure, according to the city records. Disneyland officials confirmed the Indiana Jones Adventure motion-based dark ride is scheduled for refurbishment in 2020. I feel like those last three paragraphs.
Yeah, I was like, are you okay? Are you having
I'm
a stroke?
Not, yeah, I swear to God, I'm just reading what's in front.
Blink twice if okay. You need help.
The Adventureland, here we go, this is different. The Adventureland thrill ride takes passengers in a rugged troop transport over rough terrain as they race through a cursed temple filled with slithering snakes, screaming mummies, and collapsing bridges. Snow White's scary adventure in Fantasyland is also scheduled to undergo an extensive renovation in 2020. 1995 Indiana Jones Adventure will mark its 25th anniversary in March. Renovation work could take place before or after the attraction's anniversary date. The ride underwent its last major refurbishment in 2014, according to Mouse Planet. So I read somewhere else, too, that they said it won't interfere with the 25th year.
Oh, yeah, which makes me feel incredibly old, because when I worked there,
I was going to say, Chris, how do you feel about this? Because this was one of your attractions.
Yeah, this was one of the attractions that I worked. And when I worked there, so it opened in 1995. First of all, I remember going that first summer, 1995, and
getting this little decoder card.
Yeah, getting the decoder card, and that the line was stretched from Indiana Jones to like Main Street, and it was a 4-hour line. And this was before Fast Pass, which would make it worse nowadays. So I remember, and to hear that the 25th anniversary of this attraction is coming up, it's still such a good ride. Like it is.
That ride is worth that. To hear the 4-hour wait, like that is insane. But that ride is actually good enough to make you feel like I didn't waste my 4 hours.
Right.
That ride is really good.
Yeah, I'd love also being on that ride with somebody who's never been on it before.
Yeah, and to think about it, like even now, none of that ride nowadays would not be built in that manner, right? If you think about it, it's a giant, it's supposed to be magic, but it's in a giant warehouse, kind of like Rise of the Resistance. I know, right? It's not actually in a temple.
How dare you?
What?
Sorry to spoil the magic. But kind of like Rise of the Resistance, right? We talked about before the show, we talked about Rise of the Resistance, where like Rise of the Resistance is in a warehouse the size of a Costco building and, you know, the different things. But a lot of that stuff today wouldn't be done with practical effects. It wouldn't be done with screens. It would be done with, you know, film technology, digital technology. In 1995, that blew the doors off of everything, because you're in this Jeep that not only moves independently, but is going through all of these scenes in the movie, you know, not in the movie, but in the ride with the film score. And it was amazing. So to hear that it's...
And the special effects they use with like when the darts are shooting at you and...
Yeah, no, it was, and it's always been great. Now...
I like when you first go across the bridge and there's a fire and the music.
Right,
So to
hear that ride's 25 years old, that ride does not feel 25 years old. Now, I started working there when it was 5 years old, and we still were doing crossovers and making, you know, breaks in traffic for Adventureland, and we were still doing all of that stuff 5 years after it opened. So, talking about special effects, one of the old special effects, there used to be like a crumbling...
Oh, I was just going to say this, ice thing?
Yeah, the ice thing, right? The crumbling rock effect. And in the last rehab, there was rumor that effect was going to get replaced, and it did not. Actually, they took the ice machine off of the
That's too bad.
The cooler and the chiller that were sitting on top of the roof, they actually took and dismantled that entire thing. But you can still see the chute or the ice. So as you come around, as you make that first turn out of the mummy chamber, mm-hmm. right? So first of all, if you turn around, you can see the hidden Mickey. It's a skeleton with the Mickey hat on. Oh, and cool. The Mickey hat says bones, and that's the hidden Mickey in the attraction. But if you make that first turn, when you make that first turn out of the mummy chamber, if you look to your right, you'll hear the rock effect. Yeah. You can see the chute where the ice used to come down and, you know.
That only worked for like a little bit, right?
It worked for like a week, literally. And then it would the dye that they had to use was clogging the machine, and then the conveyor belt froze. But before that, it was the ice was getting on the track and melting and timing out the tires. So the tires would spin and the whole ride would time out. So it doesn't sound like anything as exciting as fixing old effects on there. I think, did it mention what they were doing in that?
No, it didn't say.
Okay, so what they're doing is they're replacing what they call planks on the, you know, the bridge you go over, which is weird because the bridge is made out of concrete, so I don't know how that works.
I also read somewhere else something about rocks, like they're redoing the rock structure.
Oh, okay. I think maybe the big skull that's in there.
Maybe.
Yeah, I haven't read that, but that makes sense. So, you know, we used to celebrate every year. You know, every year on its anniversary, and it's gonna be weird not having it around. But I mean, it's been down for rehab before, so hopefully they screw something.
They make it seem like it's gonna be quick.
Yeah, I think in the last one is when they put the air gates in too. When you go on now, there's these gates that open up and close. Again, back when I worked there, we used to like hop on the jeeps and ride them into the station and do all kinds of stuff we weren't supposed to do. And so the entire safety system of the ride was us putting our hands out to keep people from throwing themselves in front of these, you know, 3-ton moving
death
vehicles.
Traps.
Yeah, death traps. So just 12,000 pound moving, you know, things that will crush you. So, all right.
It seems like 300 grand is not that much money for a refurb. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's 300 grand's a lot of money, but it's in the grand scheme of Disney.
In the scheme of things, right, yeah.
It also seems funny to me that they have to file for building permits. It makes sense, but it was just so funny that they have to go to the city for permission.
Yeah, that tells me that they're going to do a lot of, like, demo. That tells me that they're going to be doing some actual like
breaking down
of stuff and tearing out stuff.
It also told me how much that Anaheim really does make from Disneyland.
Oh, you better believe it.
Because I know during their last city council elections, there was a lot of residents that were saying city council doesn't care about residents. They only care about Disneyland.
Well, I could be wrong. I believe that was two city council elections ago.
And it was. The new city council members are much more quote unquote pro residents. I mean, that's why that whole hotel thing came about.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, it's, I could see why that would be true or why people would think that with how much, if Disneyland has to file for building permits and such. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think any company that's going to do a lot of demo in like, if you're a hotel and you're going to like demo.
Yeah. But
interior.
It's like inside Disneyland, it's its own city.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it makes sense. It's just, I never thought about it, and it's funny
And this is gonna get me in trouble. Here's how I feel about Anaheim. Have you ever been to like Stanton or Buena Park? I mean, well, Buena Park has Knott's Berry Farm, but you know, Fountain Valley, any of those like kind of like edge cities in Orange County.
Yeah.
You know, here's what people in Anaheim need to remember: if Disneyland wasn't in Anaheim, there'd be another Fountain Valley.
There'd be another Stanton. Yeah,
yeah, another Stanton.
For the record, while I can't say anything good about Stanton really because I don't know it well enough, except that they have a very large DMV. Fountain Valley is filled with delicious ethnic food options.
Did you get your driver's license at that DMV?
Actually, I took my ex-husband to go and get it there.
Because I got mine there.
In Fountain Valley? Or in
it took me
Stanton.
Four tries to get mine.
Really?
Stanton was recently...
It took me like two or three, I think, I remember.
I had a problem with speeding.
I had a problem with the written...
Yeah, I've ridden in a car with Karen.
So Stanton, this is... Stanton recently, like all people really know Stanton for is being featured on Hotel Kids of Orange County.
Yeah.
They've been trying to really redo their image. So they recently shut down like Beach Boulevard for a big block party.
I saw that. They had a lot of like the businesses and Knott's Berry Farm. It was Beach Boulevard through three different cities or something.
Yeah,
like
it was
that.
Like a 7-mile stretch.
Yeah, it's like La Mirada. Nobody knows where this is. La Mirada, Buena Park, and Stanton. So some of those like corridor cities. But
and yet, Karen, if you haven't seen Hotel Kids of Orange County, please. It's on HBO Go or HBO Now.
I don't pay for streaming services.
It's just the gist of it is it's a documentary of kids and families that live in hotels and go from hotel to hotel because they're
and
super
they're
broke.
All living near Knott's Berry Farm and Disneyland.
So like the kids see like Disneyland every day, but they can never go in. Like the
yeah,
clothes
and it shows
the,
these two boys that go to the Disney parking structure just to see the fireworks.
Ew. It's kind of sad.
That is very sad. But I know families like that, so I think I'm good then.
Yeah.
She says that she had her fancy country club.
I work for a nonprofit.
But
I have balance.
I think, yeah.
I mean, they're at the opposite ends of the extreme, but I have balance.
Which is the whole point of the documentary, is the whole different ends of the extreme in Orange County.
Wow.
But I see that every time we go to Knott's and we drive up beach and we pass through Westminster and Stanton and into Buena Park, and you see these families living in the motels, but you also see the apartments that live like surrounding Knott's. And I'm like, how many families live in those apartments looking out their bedroom window into Knott's Berry Farm and cannot afford to go?
There was that movie, a few years ago with, Brooklyn Decker. It's about the family that live in Florida in the motels, like right outside Disney World. So it seems to be a problem kind of in these tourist corridors. Yeah, and I don't mean to unfairly pick on Stanton. My point is that the people in Anaheim think that they're a bigger deal than they are and that they didn't have like the
they've
angels.
They've forgotten their roots, basically.
You know, they would – the Orange Groves would have been paved over – eventually anyway, and they would just be another anonymous city in Orange County without Disney there.
PSA for all of our listeners out there, it is the season for giving, so if you feel bad, you should definitely donate to any charity of your choice. You if you don't have one, please feel free to donate to mine, the Asian Pacific Community Fund.
All right. You know what, Karen? We'll put a – I'll let you talk about a little bit about that at the end of the episode, and then we'll put a link in our show notes for your charity. So, all right. Well, that's enough Stanton bashing. My apologies to the people of Stanton. I did not mean to unfairly pick on them.
You were also picking on Anaheim residents, though.
I was.
I feel like he was doing that one on purpose.
Yeah, that one I am doing.
One last thing about Stanton is it's also known for having a lot of police car chases because people will go through. You know how like if you go from one city to the other.
Oh
like,
yeah,
jurisdiction.
They gotta,
so, like,
yeah, they got to change.
Go through Stanton to try to like.
Here's
it's actually also a very good place that you could get like hella cheap fabric in Stanton.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I've been meaning to go there because my friend and I want to take up sewing, and I see it all the time on my way to Knott's.
It is ridiculous. I walked in with a friend and I was like, oh my God.
Oh, I know where that place is.
Layla, if you're listening, can we please go there? We keep forgetting to go there.
Layla, do it.
All right. Thanks for listening, Layla. All right, John.
She's our one listener.
we have like 300 listeners.
Hey, we shout out to Tracy.
The ones that listen because of us.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We just have one.
Just one.
My god sister-in-law listens to us. Shout out, Tracy.
What if my mom listens? Do you think my mom listens?
No. I know she does. Sometimes she mentions it, and then there's other times. So, okay. Rebecca, if you're listening to this episode, let us know.
Do you guys know we have like two listeners in the UK?
That's awesome.
Yeah, because I can pull up like where people are downloading from.
Were they just on vacation?
They might have been. I don't know.
Shout out to the United Kingdom.
Yeah. All right. John, something's going on at Knott's. Something's coming back at Knott's Berry Farm, sort of. What's going on there?
Well, Chris, Knott's Berry Farm will bring back the Berry Tales Dark Ride in a tribute to the original one-of-a-kind attraction with the catchy theme song that could only be found at the Buena Park theme park.
Welcome one and all, y'all come have a ball, things are very fine, riding on the old Knott's Berry line.
And if you didn't know, that theme song is in our introduction to park hopping. It's the very end, it's the Knott's Berry Tales.
I don't even know what Knott's Berry Tales is.
Okay, good. I'm not the only one. I have no idea what this is.
Oh, Brandis is giving me a look like she is shocked.
Yeah.
Okay,
I don't know.
So, gummy
bears or something?
I'm going to let you finish. But
yes, there's gummy bears, John. It's gummy bears.
Are there really?
I feel like there's gummy bears.
Okay, my first...
I'm down for gummy bears.
...memory of Knott's Berry Farm in that space is Kingdom of the Dinosaurs.
Yes, I can get on board with.
Which is weird because that was like 1988 or 89, and I know I went to Knott's Berry Farm before.
I remember Berry Tales.
Yeah, I...
There was like a whole like show thing or...
Yeah, it was a
back ride. When Knott's yeah. still had dolphin shows.
Yeah, okay, Karen, I remember that.
Yeah, I remember
Karen and John show. Have no knowledge of these berry tales yeah. you speak of.
I don't
do,
remember
however,
either.
Have gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere. Now yeah. stuck in my head. So,
so real quick, I thanks, do John. Like for since sure. I just mentioned the dolphins. Does anybody else think that's really weird that Knott's used to own dolphins?
Yeah, Knott's used to have a dolphin show.
I always what think was that ride in I the back corner so young, where you hang upside down? It was like a...
Oh, XK1.
Yeah.
Yeah, they took that out after someone fell out.
Oh,
yeah,
crap.
She died.
Yeah.
And that is why I don't like to do rides anymore.
I loved that ride.
Karen, before the show started, Karen said she was too old for biggies. Apparently, Karen's too old for rides now, too.
Dude, not supposed to be really dangerous. Remember the parachute ride?
Oh, oh God. Yeah, really somebody committed suicide on that ride.
That was intense.
That was... I
love that ride, but somebody committed okay. suicide on that ride.
Do you guys
ride.
Remember the safety... I mean, we'll get to the berry tales. Do you guys remember the safety mechanism on the parachute ride? It was literally like a sliding bolt that they would close the cage that you were in. Like yeah. you would step into this
well,
cage.
Well, Chris,
would...
if it was any harder, how would people commit suicide? I mean, yeah. come on, man.
Well, I mean,
so I remember when I was a kid, my first time on that ride, and looking down and thinking, this floor does not feel thick enough.
And you would feel like you would feel vaguely like you were going to float out of the
yeah. Well,
out of
we,
the cage.
We used to do is when you hear the thing let go and we would jump, so you would try
yeah.
to,
like, we did the same thing. We hover. Would all lift ourselves up yeah. to make it a little.
So
it
maybe that
safer.
Guy didn't commit suicide.
Maybe he's just a dumb teenager.
He,
like me.
He just jumped way higher.
yeah, he was like really good at it.
But I mean, can jump. What are you like 6 foot?
Had,
right?
He had hops.
No, I'm 5'9".
No, you're
there's
not.
Like
5'8". I'm 5'8".
Okay. No, you're taller
no, you're
than
you're
that.
Taller.
You're 5'10".
I'm 5'8". You're taller than me.
I don't think so. My you're driver's license says 5'9".
Yeah, but
5'9".
Has that been updated since
huge.
What age?
I didn't grow since
yes,
I was
you
like
did.
20.
You grew since I met you when you were 21.
Okay, well, anyway.
Hey, guys, we are going to find out how tall John really is.
And, I will measure him. I will measure him when we get home with my tape measure and update
in the
Facebook page.
All right. So my point is, though, yeah. like, okay, those rails, like that cage could not have been any taller than 6 feet tall. And it always felt like you were just going to float right on
yeah.
out of there.
Yeah, no, it was weird. Totally Knott's, freaky every time.
Early Knott's was weird.
Dude, and then what about what was that ride, the soapbox racers?
Oh, those were fun. Yeah. Those were
fun.
Dangerous.
Those
were fun.
I love those. Knott's I would awesome. Love. Yeah, Knott's used to be so much fun and a little dangerous.
We used to go to Knott's because it was cheaper. Yeah. And I lived in Montebello, so it was a lot closer than going to Anaheim.
For sure.
Yeah. Which when was we super were, expensive.
I had recently looked up all like the theme park deaths, so that's how I know all of this. But there was somebody after Knott's Scary Farm. It was either the late 80s or the early 90s that was stabbed to death in the parking lot. And it just adds to a level of creepiness when you're leaving Knott's Scary Farm into yeah. the parking lot at 2 a.m.
Yeah. What a
to
fun
know it
way
might
to
be
spend
haunted.
Your holidays, Brandis.
She's an odd one. She's an odd one.
Just casually not watching
we
Hallmark
are way
movies.
Off, we are way off the rails here. Okay.
All right. So the Knott's Berry Tales return to the fair. 4D interactive dark ride will debut in summer 2020 at Knott's Berry Farm. Knott's Berry Tales will replace the Voyage of to the Iron Reef 4D interactive dark ride that debuted at the park in 2015.
Thank God for that.
You know, it
I've
was
never been on it.
I need to go.
I need to make an effort. I have to go. No, literally, I need to go this month.
You do.
That's right, because you bought your pass.
Yes,
and it's going
to
expire.
I need to go this month.
Let's well, it's
let's do it.
It's not a terrible ride. It's just kind of.
If you guys are going to be there Saturday night, let us know and we'll hop on over.
All right. Yeah.
Well,
so get a video of Karen on the Iron Reef.
Karen, the last day to ride Voyage of the Iron Reef will be January 5th.
Okay. Well, I have to go you before the end of this month.
Close
though.
To a month. Yeah.
So I need to do this.
The digital remake of Berry Tales will pair Knott's again with Triotech, the Montreal-based ride maker behind Voyage up to the Iron Reef. Berry Tales riders will again follow Boysenbearer and
oh, that's the original.
And Girlsenbearer as they oh it's boy
and
Boysen.
Girl.
Berry.
Yeah. I thought you loved puns, Chris.
Yeah, that's just bad. I know I do, and that's just bad.
Fish the ink girls.
And Girlsen. G I R L S E N. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Is
that yeah, because right? it's a boy and a girl. Oh,
but it's also like Boysenberry.
Yeah,
Boysenberry.
Well, when
and girls
you first
yeah.
said that, we all thought it was Boysenberry, and then you went girl, and I was like,
thanks
no.
for explaining that, John.
Yes, yeah. Okay. All right. They travel to the county fair in hopes of winning a blue ribbon for their Boysenberry pie. Crafty Coyote and his mischievous pups will be back with their eyes on the pies.
Okay, so is it Crafty Coyote or is it
no, like... just Crafty?
Okay, missed opportunity. But
missed opportunity there. Or maybe now, it's for the contrast of it all. You know,
I think there were copyrights.
Yeah, maybe.
New digitally rendered scenes will recreate the Boysenberry Pie Factory, Frog Forest, Fortune Teller Camp, Thunder Cave, and Weird Woods from the original attraction. This time around, riders will be armed with jelly blasters. They will train on the thieving coyotes who have stolen Boysenberry Pies from the factory. Concept art of the new attraction shows Bear working in the factory as pies pass on a conveyor belt while coyote pups wreak havoc in the bakery. Riders
so
armed
an
with
Astro
blasters.
Blaster?
No, that's what I was just going to say.
It's basically the same ride.
It's the exact same ride with different cartoons.
With different screen. Right. Yeah. With a different movie and background. So, but whatever. Okay. Riders armed with blasters fire purple boysenberry jelly at the coyotes.
I have to Google this berry.
But that
tales.
Makes sense because I was wondering how they were going to change a whole ride in time for the 100-year anniversary, and now right. I get it.
Yeah, they're just
an overhaul.
Berry
yeah,
tales.
Slap us a paint
okay,
on
okay,
it.
Here we go.
Yeah, literally, they're just a berry blaster. Or no,
for
jelly
those
blaster.
Of you who are listening and don't know Berry Tales, you need to know that it's not B-E-R-R-Y, but B-E-A-R-Y. As in, like, a bear.
That's yes. very interesting.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's right. B-E-A-R-Y.
Yes, because I kept thinking it was berry, as in, like, boysenberry.
Yeah.
But the bear part, now I'm like, oh. But yes, apparently this was a dark ride that was opened in 1975 as part of the Roaring Twenties area. I didn't know they had a Roaring Twenties area.
Oh, yeah. The sky jump and all of that stuff. They used to have the Autopia like.
Yes,
cars.
Apparently it is now known as the boardwalk.
Yeah.
So
they still have the Roaring Twenties girls there on the park bench over there.
Yes,
by Iron
and Age. They just sold the sign. They had that big neon Roaring Twenties sign above the old Kingdom of the Dinosaurs building for a long time.
Yeah, it's more 50s now.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
Coasters Diner and Coast mm-hmm. Rider and.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, it was supposed to be modeled after like 1950s Huntington Beach. They were going to put a giant oil well.
Oh, crazy.
When they had that perilous plunge, mm-hmm. it was actually supposed to go through like a giant oil well. So it was like modeled after kind of, you know, Southern California in that era. But
that's wild.
Yeah.
I'm very intrigued by this. When is it opening again?
Well, let me read the rest of this and see what we find out here. Okay, right. Knott's Berry Farm will celebrate 100 years of history with a summer long Knott's family reunion in 2020 that pays tribute to the legacy of the theme park's founding family. The Knott's family reunion will feature anniversary decor, live entertainment, and themed food and merchandise. The return of Knott's Berry Tales is perfect for the 100th anniversary because it brings back one of the park's most nostalgic and beloved attractions in an innovative 4D dark ride format that will delight an entirely new generation of fans. Knott's Vice President and General Manager John Storbeck said in a statement. I feel like it would be better to bring back Kingdom of the Dinosaurs. I think that would be like more nostalgic.
Well, people.
But then they can't use berry puns.
No, and that is the important part is that we're.
Is that?
Dinosaurs.
So I'm really curious about their 100-year anniversary because while they're advertising their annual passes, they're talking about the not summer nights and Ghost Town Alive, but now it's saying in the summer is when they're doing the family reunion.
Yeah.
So how much are they packing in and what is it going to entail?
Hey, I have no problems with them packing it in because this is my first year as an annual pass holder. So I feel like welcoming me with like every possible thing.
I'm
like
not
this
complaining.
Is like the best time for me to have signed up.
No, I'm not complaining because I'm actually really excited for the 100-year anniversary because I know they're going to do a lot of pass holder appreciation. And we love the whole like history of Knott's. It's just how are they going to do it?
Well, and unlike Disneyland where they're anniversary celebrations last, you know, 36 months. The Knott's Berry Farm 100th anniversary celebration will last from May 15th through August 30th.
Wait, isn't that when the Boysenberry Festival? They better not hurt my Boysenberry Festival.
The Knott's Summer Night. Yeah. So that's what, according to coaster101.com, the 100th anniversary will be May 15th through August 30th. So you're trying to use it to, I'm assuming goose up the summertime numbers and Ghost Town Live.
Their summertime numbers are insane.
Are they? Yeah, because all the people that stop buying Disneyland passes.
We go a lot less in the summer than we do any other time of the year.
I will say, I'm a big Knott's Berry Farm fan. I love the history of it. And I used to, it's another place that I used to work. Well, so I'm more willing to go there during the summer if I know that something cool like this is going on.
But yeah, it's just because you have so many lines. As a pass holder, you don't have to deal with lines because you know when to go. In the summer, there is no good time to go except early entry.
Right.
So you got to plan on what rides you're going to go to each time you go and then get out of there before the crowds show up.
Yeah.
Here's something interesting. The original Knott's Berry Tales dark ride was commissioned by the Knott's family and created by Disney Imagineer Raleigh Crump, who worked on the Enchanted Tiki Room, Haunted Mansion, and It's a Small World in Disneyland.
And it makes sense that people have been asking for this ride back for years. It was such a fan favorite. It was such a popular ride. People loved this.
It was so popular. John and I had never even heard of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we're all right around the same age. So I think
what I was going to say is I think I'm older than all of you, so it would make sense that I remember it.
Actually, though,
I think Karen's, I'm in my 40s.
I might be the oldest one here.
Okay, we don't need to discuss that on the air. But then how old were you when you went to Knott's and you don't remember this?
It was the 1970s.
Well, in all fairness, when I was little and I was like 6 or 7, I really didn't do anything besides like Camp Snoopy.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of that little mini roller coaster.
I think John and I are pretty much the same age. And I think you're maybe a couple years older. And I think Karen's, maybe you and Karen are around the same age. But yeah, it was for a certain sect of people from like 1975 to like 1988, like this was their favorite ride. And you know, they used to have smells and like you could smell the pies and that song that, you know, gets stuck in your head. So this was, people loved this.
What I'm hearing is if I still smell pie, I should go in carrying a piece of pie.
You should. You absolutely should.
So I can,
you know, I want to say, I don't like the boysenberry pie because it gets stuck in my teeth.
The seeds. Mm-hmm.
And then you bite down and it gets just right and hurts. But that would be fun to ride the ride with boysenberry smells while eating boysenberry products.
Right? So let me ask you guys, because you guys go to Knott's a lot, John and Brandis. What do you think of this replacing Iron Reef? Do you guys?
I think it's pretty quick that they're replacing it. That must have bombed or something.
And Iron Reef didn't really fit. It was like cyberpunk. Deep sea diving.
But I feel like they were really trying to go after that steampunk.
Which is like if you went into that shop,
like they were selling the steampunk glasses, jackets, and hats. So it just didn't fit. So this fits. And they could, that whole shop is just going to. And I remember how exciting that shop was getting off of Kingdom of the Dinosaurs.
Oh, I love that shop getting off.
Yeah, so to make it all Berry Tales, not Berry, is it Berry Tales?
Berry Tales, yeah.
Yeah, so to make it all Berry Tales now and just imagine they'll have a lot to sell there.
Yeah, so
it will make sense.
Good to see that they're going back to some of their original, it's not IP, so to say, but it is some of their, I love that they're going back to the history. John Storbeck is a phenomenal theme park executive. He used to work at Disneyland. And
John, if you're listening to this, you have Stan here. Oh.
Yeah, I know John. I mean, I don't know him probably as well as I used to, but I have had interactions when he was theme park one at Disneyland, which is the daily operations manager. So, good for Cedar Fair for poaching him from Disney. You know, Matt, we met went over to Cedar Fair from Disney, and I think that they're doing a lot of good things to honor their history, especially with this 100th anniversary coming up. So, all right, well, we do have one more news story to go, and this is one of the reasons I asked Karen to be here. Aside from her sparkling personality and being
and the fact that I brought you a ton of leftovers,
I didn't know about the leftovers, but John, what's going on at the Disneyland Hotel?
Well, Disneyland Vacation Club filed plans today with the city of Anaheim to build a new 12-story project at the Disneyland Resort.
Hi, I'm Rob.
I'm Phil. Thanks for joining us. Whether you're young or old, from near or far, there's magic for the whole family to enjoy on Disney vacations.
But what if you could discover even more magic? What if you could return to your favorite places or uncover new favorites?
Disney Vacation Club makes it possible by giving you a chance to own a piece of the magic.
Disney has proposed a new 12-story timeshare tower next to the Disneyland Hotel after pulling the plug last year on the planned 700-room luxury hotel at the western end of the Downtown Disney Shopping Center in Anaheim. While Disney has not yet set an opening date, the new Disney Vacation Club project is not expected to be completed before 2020. The look and theme of the new tower will complement the classic 1955 Disneyland Hotel. The DVC Tower project area is located on a grassy area between South Walnut Street and the Disneyland Hotel's Frontier Tower, swimming pool, and convention center. Construction would remove an existing laundry facility. The DVC Tower project area is located on a grassy area between South Walnut... Okay, sorry. Disney says the proposed DVC resort would create 550 construction jobs and 100 timeshares operation jobs if the project is approved. We look forward to working closely with the Disneyland Resort, the City of Anaheim, and engaging our neighbors on this project, which would also create new jobs and spending in the community, as well as generating additional revenue for the city, Disney Vacation Club Senior Vice President Terry Schultz said in a statement. The 280,000 square foot vacation ownership project would increase Disneyland's timeshare capacity nearly sixfold, adding to the 71 Disney Vacation Club rooms at Disney's Grand California Hotel and Spa. The new Disney Vacation Club rooms will increase the number of timeshare units in the overall Anaheim resort area by more than 50%. Anaheim spokeswoman Lauren Gold said that there are already about 600 timeshare rooms in the resort. Disney canceled construction on a planned downtown Disney hotel after Anaheim eliminated a tax rebate agreement worth $267 million to the company. Construction of the hotel planned to open in 2021 has been set to begin in late 2018 on a 17-acre parcel between the original Disneyland Hotel and the downtown Disney monorail station when Disney canceled the expansion plans in October of last year. The DVC Club, the Disney Vacation Club debuted in 1991 as a flexible point-based membership system rather than the traditional fixed-week timeshares model. The club's 220,000 members have access to 14 Disney Vacation Club resorts around the globe. A Disney Vacation Club membership costs a minimum of $18,800 plus closing costs starting at $556 and annual dues starting at the $66 a month or $792 annually. Our members tell us over and over again how much they love the outstanding accommodations, value, and flexibility of Disney's Vacation Club, Schultz said in a statement. Today, we took the first steps toward providing the additional accommodations they have been asking for at the Disneyland Resort.
All right. So people have been asking for this for a very long time. And as a matter of fact, when you're a Disney Vacation Club member, as Karen and I are, one of the hardest reservations to get and one of the most expensive contracts to buy is the Grand Californian, which is the only Disney Vacation Club property that is on the Disneyland Resort property. So, Karen, I'm going to toss this over to you. What do you think about this announcement as someone that owns way more points than I do?
I'm actually pretty excited. As Chris mentioned, it is definitely very hard to get reservations there. Also, they are very expensive, regardless of whether you're staying at the hotel or trying to use your points. So this would be a nice opportunity to hopefully get some more, rooms in there so that we can book. I think the other thing is, though, like as they keep selling points, there are just so many more DVC members. It's, we're all competing for the same properties.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to be at Riviera.
It's a totally different story. But I mean, so this has been something that, like I said, people have been asking for years. This is going to go, if you're familiar with the Disneyland Hotel property, this is going to go essentially between where the current Frontier Tower is, which is on the far end of the Disneyland Hotel property, closest to Cotella Avenue. It used to be called the Wonder Tower when I worked in the hotels. We used to say it was the Wonder Tower because then you would say, I wonder why they're putting me all the way out here. So then this is going to go in between the Fantasy Tower and the Frontier Tower. There's this large sort of grassy area that used to be home to the Fantasy Waters show, which Karen had apparently never seen before.
Hey, man.
Yeah, it was just a free thing that you could do. Like you could just walk into the Disneyland Hotel and they would have this little nighttime like laser and fountain show. And it was really cute. And they took it out in the early 2000s.
I will say, though, I feel like even putting this in, there's not going to be enough rooms. It's still, I feel like it's still going to be very hard to book. Because
everybody's going to want them.
Well, first of all, everybody's going to want it. And also, if you're a DVC member and you're coming to Disneyland or Disney's California Adventure, you have no other place to stay. Like when you go to Florida, you have options. You know what I mean? You have like nothing here.
And I think it mentions how many, I think it mentioned in the article how many rooms that they're planning on adding.
Oh, boy.
We'll let John take a look at that. But, you know, it's going to add, it's a 14-story tower, so it's going to match the height of
600.
So 600 rooms. Okay, so that's not a lot of rooms. But I think it's going to be really exciting to see, A, if this it gets done because of all the issues we talked about earlier. So this is going to, they say that this was originally planned before the other hotel project went belly up, but we'll see about that. Only they know what the actual truth is. Yeah. But they said this was in the works for a long time. So I'm going to hope for the best and hope that it comes out because I think it'll be really cool. I think this is a long time coming. The Disneyland Hotel hasn't seen an expansion since probably the 70s or 80s. I know in the 80s they just kind of rearranged the interior. You know, they created the marina, and then they about 10 years ago or 7 or 8 years ago they had, you know, they added the water slide and they redid the pool a few years back. So well, here's my question for you guys. So the current towers are Fantasy, Adventure, and Frontier. What do we think they're going to name the new tower? I'm going to go with Brandy first.
Tune? I don't know.
Okay. Tune.
So we have Adventure.
Fantasy, Frontier. And Frontier.
Let's go with Star Wars.
Oh, I was going to say that.
John?
Well, I was going to say Star Wars, but...
I'm going to go with Tomorrow. Okay. Tomorrowland.
Oh, I think that was... Can I change my? I'm
nope,
going to change my answer.
Nope, too late.
John wanted Star Wars. So
now
I'm going
to go with Main
tomorrow.
Street, yeah. USA.
So
it was either that or I was thinking New Orleans Square,
yeah,
or Critter.
I think
New Orleans Square would be cool, actually.
Yeah, I think a New Orleans Square, a New Orleans Tower. I think that would be.
Orleans Tower that would be for DVC members would like blow people's minds.
Yeah, I think that
they
would
could
be.
Do a cute thing like where your ears get free beads.
Right. I mean, no. I mean, you could do a lot. You could have like because in the Frontier.
That's not how you get free beads, Brandy.
In Disneyland,
hey,
it is.
Hey, listen. Let me tell you.
Well, I mean,
when I went to New Orleans this past summer, I didn't get a single free bead, and let me tell you, I tried.
So. I'm sorry, your breasts are not good enough for free beads, Chris.
I apologize. we are picky.
I know. Fair enough. So,
how do you guys get free beads in?
You get them from the girls you
I was
with.
Just going to say, oh, okay. You get it from the girls that are getting the free beads.
Because they have too many to carry. So they
or you buy them a drink in exchange for beads. No. It's a whole bead economy there. And the girls control the means of production.
And Brandy knows so much about this. I mean.
Well, as we discovered, there was a time before she knew John. So, okay, so.
She never paid for a drink before she met me.
Literally.
She liked about John. John made her pay for her own drinks.
I made her an independent woman.
All right. So the average cost of a DVC membership. So if you're unfamiliar with how DVC works, it's on a point system, right? So if you book a stay for a week, it can cost you anywhere from Karen. What would you say a week at Disney World costs at?
It really kind of depends. So you've got like the lesser valued resorts, and then you've got the super fancy ones.
Yeah.
So if you're staying at like Animal Kingdom, that's a large chunk of change.
Right.
Are those ones where you're in like a cabin?
No. So the Animal Kingdom ones are the ones where they have animals roaming outside the
like giraffes and stuff.
Yeah.
I want
stuff
to
like
go
that.
There.
So if you are in one of those animal facing rooms, you could be looking at like 200-250 points
for a week
during
yeah.
like a moderate, not like the low season, but not like super high season. And that could just be like a one bedroom or studio where you can actually see the
for a week, though? That's not bad. 250 for a week?
No, that's not price.
Points.
It's
that's points.
Points.
Yeah. So on the resale, without getting into this whole discussion, well, the resale market, you can get a contract at Animal Kingdom Lodge for about $109, $110 a point. If you buy it new from Disney, it's about $140 to $165 a point.
But there is a reason you buy from Disney and not resell,
right?
Because Disney
benefits.
Doesn't like resell, and so while they allow it, you don't get all of the perks. So no. Chris and I get to go to a party. You don't get to go to the party.
Yeah.
We have a lot of smaller. We have the lounges. You don't get the lounge. We get sometimes we get special pricing on tickets and stuff over there. You wouldn't get any of that. Yeah.
So, you know, based on that, I said $140 to $165 a point for a new contract. Some of the new contracts have gone, they're predicted to go over $200. I think this is going to go for over $200 a point simply because it's going to be so limited.
It's like a Disney stock market.
It is. It's Disney timeshare is what it is. And so you buy points. I have 100 points, Disney Vacation Club. Karen's got like 900 points. I don't know how many she has, but it's way more than I do.
So can you take us to this Animal Kingdom room?
No.
Just flat out no.
What's her points, man?
With the amount of points, with the price, with the point hikes that they do every year, you know, it basically is encouraging you to buy more points. We started out with more than enough points, and now we are really getting to a point where we're like, oh, like, you know.
You're getting to a point of needing points.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to buy the,
I mean,
the
it's,
extra points.
It's really insane.
Point taken.
Get it. Man, this is the punorama today. So, you know, but, and there's different categories of rooms. So you have a studio room, which is kind of just like a slightly larger than a standard hotel room.
So I do want to point out what Chris has not mentioned is the one of the reasons you do want to stay in a DVC room is because you, even in a studio, you get like a little kitchenette. Which you would not get in your regular room. So you're going to have a sink, you're going to have a microwave, you're going to have, and then you're going to have a little fridge. And then as a DVC member, even in a studio room that may not have a washer and a dryer, you get free washer and dryer privileges.
Right. So the one bedrooms, you get a washer and dryer in your room. And it's more like, it's less like a hotel stay because you don't get laundry service. I mean, you don't get
maid service
in your rooms. You just kind of like make your own beds. It's kind of like being at home. The whole thing is welcome home, right? And then they have two bedrooms, and then they have, do they have three bedrooms, or does that go straight to the Grand Villa?
That is the Grand Villa.
Yeah. So, and all of these are, the bigger room you get, the obviously the more points you
have.
Yeah,
the Grand Villas are ridiculous.
So I'd be curious, I'm curious to see what they're going to be offering in terms of like studios and grand villas, and you know how many, they're only doing 600 rooms, how many, it's gonna be a very few studios.
And well, I'm also wondering, because you know, like with the different Disney properties, they do include different stipulations on them. So like when you buy at Aulani, they had certain stipulations that we didn't have at like Animal Kingdom or at Saratoga Springs, which is their first one, and then I think the Riviera ones have new stipulations.
And if anybody's interested in seeing Animal Kingdom Lodge, make sure to visit our sponsor, Magical Vacation Planner by Caris, for all of your vacation planning needs. So it's going to be really interesting. So, you know, it's about $30,000 to get 200 points on Disney Vacation Club. So we'll see. We'll see how all this goes down. All right. Well, thank you, John, for the news. Really quickly, because we're very rapidly running out of time, I would like to talk about some of the upcoming holiday offerings that are going on in the park. And I think you guys have been to Knott's Berry Farm once already. So let me talk about really quickly about what's going on since we're on the Disney kick. Let me talk about Mickey's Happy Holidays. Disney California Adventure has released information about all of the entertainment that will be coming as Festival of the Holidays begins this weekend, including a brand new show starring Mickey Mouse. Festival of the Holidays includes live entertainment, crafts, Disney characters, and diverse foods in the Festival Foods Marketplace. Mickey's Happy Holidays is a new character celebration featuring Disney and Pixar characters, plus the holiday toy drummers. Look for Mickey and his pals twice daily as they dance to a mix of a high-energy music at either Paradise Gardens Park Obelisk, no idea where that's at, or in Carthay Circle. Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Chew, Goofy, Chip and Dale, Clarabelle Cow, they're on a Clarabelle Cow kick, and even the Country Bears, because that's a thing that hasn't been a thing in like 15 years, will be all wearing their holiday best. The Holiday Sunset Concert Series on the Palisade stage will feature the Suffragettes Top 40 cover band and the Fat Cat Swinger Big Band, which I am excited to see. Other seasonal entertainment returning to California Adventure includes the Blue 13 Bollywood and Indian Folk Dance Company. One of my favorite groups, mostly kosher, featuring rock, jazz, and klezmer music. So they're kind of like a Hanukkah-inspired group. They're really good. The Sound a cappella troupe, the Mariachi Divas, who are also very good, and the Viva Navidad show with the Three Caballeros. At Disney California Adventure, the holiday lineup also includes World of Color, Seasons of Light, Nighttime Spectacular, Festival of Holidays, Food and Music Festival, and we'll take a look at that next weekend or in our next show. Luigi's Joy to the World, which me and Karen got to experience at the Moonlight Magic Holiday Party. No, we didn't.
No, we didn't. We
Mater's
did Mater's
Jingle Jamboree Holiday Ride Overlay. We did not go on Luigi's.
We were too busy standing in line for all the characters.
Yeah. Believe in Holiday Magic over at Disneyland. Believe in Holiday Magic Fireworks Spectacular, a Christmas Fantasy Parade, It's a Small World, and Haunted Mansion Holiday Overlays, and the two-hour waits that accompany them, and Sleeping Beauty's Winter Castle, which
for
they
the
start
record,
putting
only
on in
two
June.
Hours is really not bad.
Not really. So let's talk about Knott's Merry Farm. Brandis and John, do you have any thoughts that you would like to share with us?
Share with me. I'm very excited. Yeah. This
so
will be my first one.
We had the turkey burger, which has cranberry mayo, apple stuffing on a pretzel bun. And it was very tasty, but it's not your normal ground turkey. So the texture of the patty was very off-putting for me, but our kids loved it.
I liked it.
And John loved it.
I'm more intrigued by the pretzel bun. Is it hard?
No, that's what I was curious too, because I actually love a chewy pretzel bun.
Okay.
But I've only had that in small, like, sliders, and I was curious how a big hamburger would hold up to that, but no, it's soft.
Like, too soft or just the right amount?
I thought it was a bit too soft.
I thought it was perfect. It was really good.
All right.
So there is the holiday turkey sandwich, which is what we really went there to try, and so Knott's on their app did not list the holiday food plans on the dining plan or even what the holiday foods are. If you go to their app right now, it just tells you the restaurants and meal options not updated for holiday food.
Okay.
They have the world's worst website, and I don't care who knows it.
Yeah, no, their app sucks. I have not been able to add my passes to the app since the app launched.
And we've talked about this several times, and...
So we originally went for the sandwich, and I couldn't find anywhere where it was listed once we got there. So I thought it said the Fireman's Barbecue. So we go there and I ask her, and she's like, no, we have no holiday meal plans at the Fireman's Barbecue. And I'm like, okay, do you know where I can get this sandwich? Because everyone online raves about it. And she's like, oh yeah, we only had it for yesterday during Thanksgiving. And it's like, I knew that wasn't true. But the employee doesn't know their holiday options either. Like, if the employee doesn't know.
That's.
So I found out it was at not Fireman's Barbecue, but Boardwalk Barbecue. So there was misinformation online about that. So we will be going back to try that, I'm hoping, next weekend.
Take me with you. I already looked at my calendar.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. If you and Chris are going on a Saturday, let us know. And John and I will meet you there for dinner.
Christopher?
Yeah.
Maybe even lunch and dinner, depending on John's work schedule.
I am free. And I bought the dining plan, too.
Okay. Oh, did you?
I don't think your dining plan will be working then.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. I will. I still have to figure out how to, like.
You could skip a meal at the country club.
All right. So I do have a little word from Knott's here. So every year, Knott's Berry Farm celebrates the merriest of seasons as the park wondrously transforms into Knott's Merry Farm, a Christmas celebration for all ages. Now, this is from their website. Spend the most wonderful time of the year with your family at Knott's Merry Farm, enjoying thrilling holiday attractions, live entertainment, a Christmas crafts village, festive food, lavish holiday decorations, lavish a lot, and nightly snow in Ghost Town. Knott's Merry Farm is Southern California's ultimate holiday festival, full of Christmas activities and attractions for the entire family. Park goers of all ages can enjoy classic shows like Merry Christmas, Snoopy, the beloved ice show featuring the famous Beagle, the Peanuts Gang, and a cast of world-class ice skaters. Tis the season for delectable food creations that can be found that can't be found anywhere else, we'll see about that, and only offered this time of year. The streets of Calico play host to a traditional Christmas carolers, Christmas Crafts Village, and one-of-a-kind gift ideas, Santa's Christmas Cabin, a nightly tree lighting ceremony, the enchanting snow and glow experience, plus so much more. So would you guys like to know what some of their holiday food offerings are?
Yes.
All right. So I picked out a couple. I didn't get them all because they were quite a bit. So some of my highlights, the fried green beans for $8.99, fried green beans, mushroom soup dip. So basically your traditional green bean casserole at the Calico Fry Company. They have a Christmas Chicago dog at Fiesta Dogs.
That is on the dining plan.
The Vienna hot dog, dill pickle, tomato slices, neon relish, mustard, sport peppers, and a green bun. Appetizing. Turkey egg rolls, 2 for $6.50 at Santa's Christmas Cabin. Turkey stuffing and cranberry rolled up like an egg roll.
That just sounds gross.
Yeah, it does sound gross. Turkey bites, 2 for $6.50 at Santa's Christmas Cabin. It beats Santa's Christmas Cabin is where they did that cookie thing, isn't it? Or they used to do that cookie thing?
According to the app, no, the cookie it still thing does next... a cookie thing.
Yeah, okay. The cookie thing is next door.
Okay. Okay. Cranberry apricot wild boar sausage.
Oh, that sounds good.
Plus a tax also at Santa's Christmas Cabin. Oh, is this where the barn normally is?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Caramelized onion, spicy mustard on a hoagie bun. They've over at Coaster's Diner.
That is not dining plan, but that sounds delicious.
That does sound good. Over at Coaster's Diner, there is a peppermint shake for $15. Also at Coaster's Diner. Yeah, $15. Better be the name.
But they make it look really fancy. I did see pictures online.
Okay. Are they on that craze
with
as well?
Yeah, with the eggnog one, it comes with the frosting and sprinkles around the lip, yeah. And then they put a donut on the straw.
Oh, dear. Wow. Okay.
It sounds like I may die.
I'm going to a coma just thinking about that. Also over at Coaster's Diner, there is an eggnog milkshake also for $15. At the Grand Bakery and Ghost Town Bakery, there is a mini Christmas ornament chocolate candy apples for $2.99. At La Papa Loca, do you guys know where La Papa Loca
yes.
is?
Okay. That's where it smells like vomit and... smells like vomit and green peppers. Yeah.
All right. Well, you can get holiday poutine there.
Yeah, that's why we haven't eaten there out of all of our dining plan options. We've never gone there.
Where is this?
It's by like...
Yes, it's between Fiesta Village and Camp Snoopy.
I feel like we should do it.
And I don't know what is wrong with it, that it always smells like vomit and green peppers.
I feel like... As a collective group, we should be able to overpower that and
swear
and
a lot of do it.
We should go, and we can get that.
We should
poutine.
Do a vlog. If we go on Saturday, we should do a vlog and get some of these items. Okay. There are peppermint croissants for $3.70. And this is only like 3/4 of the list.
There's four of us. We can get
all of
them.
Peppermint croissants for $3.79 at the Grand Bakery. Eggnog Christmas
Wait,
tree.
Does cheese it tell cake. You why it's called a holiday croissant?
A peppermint croissant.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
Sweet peppermint flavored croissant drizzled with white chocolate.
That actually kind of sounds gross.
It does. I'm out.
Yeah, because like you stuff croissants with things like dark chocolate and almond, not peppermint.
Or ham and cheese.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, that now I'm hungry.
All right.
Which they have. Oh, you're probably getting to it.
Maybe. Oh, so I have a few more on this list. If that doesn't do it for you, there's the eggnog Christmas tree cheesecake. Parentheses on a stick. Which
they do that all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how else are you supposed to eat a cheesecake in a theme park?
With a fork? I don't know.
Yeah.
But then you'll have to have all this extra stuff.
Like
I mean, it's so hard to share.
Not everything has to be on a stick. There's baklava.
I love baklava.
I'm down for that. I haven't had baklava.
It's probably cheaper from a Greek restaurant.
It's $3.50 for a slice of baklava, which is kind of pricey.
Well, I mean,
holidays. All of these are available at the Grand Bakery and Ghost Town Bakery. Holiday cupcakes, holiday cake pops, and the gingerbread churro.
I don't feel like you got to what Brandis was.
No.
No.
What was Brandis?
Stromboli.
Oh, okay. Now, if you're curious.
And that's on the dining plan.
Yeah, if you're curious as to what's on the dining plan, I think I have something that Brandis sent me. So
this was from
her if it's wrong.
This is from a WordPress site, and there was a couple things on there that made me really think that they had this wrong, and we'll discuss it after the list.
Okay, so on the list for the meal plan is the McLorraine macaroni with the white cheese sauce, bacon, chives, and bread. Bread? Yeah, it's a lot of carbs. Mini Christmas ornament, chocolate candy apples, Christmas bark, fried green beans, s'mores funnel cake, turkey pastry, classic turkey dinner, Christmas cookie dough bites, maple pecan funnel cake, cookie shots. Yeah, interesting. Flavors include chocolate chip and red velvet, cranberry apricot wild boar sausage. This says that it's on the dining plan. Belgium waffles, apple pie pizza, white Christmas pizza.
I do want to try those pizzas, too, and they're on the dining plan.
Turkey dinner burger, holiday shakes, horchata funnel cake, Christmas Chicago dog, holiday poutine, holiday funnel cakes, holiday stuffed donuts.
Holiday everything.
Winter mint macaron, the baklava, the Christmas tree cheesecake on a stick, and select offerings from Mrs. Knott's Chicken Dinner Restaurant.
See, the baklava's not so bad now that it's on the dining plan.
So that's what I was going to say, is the dining plan does not offer any sweets. They do not offer any snacks.
See?
So first of all, either this place is wrong or Knott's has been listening to all of us which that are possible. Saying we will pay extra for a snack plan or dessert plan. I would pay not as much as a meal plan, but I would pay for like John and I to go there and get a funnel cake to share.
Now, I will say this was so this is an actual photo. So this wasn't a list that they compiled. This is an actual photo that they put together. Sorry, not put together. That they took at Knott's Berry Farm. So,
or maybe it's some sort of internal thing that got leaked.
So what happened is there used to be no breakfast option on the dining plan. And then somebody online put on there, hey, you could get the breakfast burritos and breakfast tacos at the cantina on the dining plan. And then we're all like, what? Because there has been no breakfast on the dining plan. And it turns out they were just testing it. It was popular. So now it is on the dining plan, but you still could only get two meals a day. So if you get the breakfast, then you get lunch, then you leave for dinner.
So I only get two meals a day.
Yeah. Okay. And 4 hours apart. Okay. But it is now, they do now have a breakfast option on the dining plan on weekends only. So if they are adding the desserts, then once again, it's probably they're testing it right now. And if it's big, it's going to be a new option. And a lot of us are going to be very happy.
Yeah, that's great. So, I mean, that sounds like, yeah.
It sounds delicious.
Sounds delicious. Sounds
yeah.
So, let's talk about the main thing that you go there for, though, is it snows.
Right.
Is this real snow or is this
no,
more
it's soap snow?
Snow.
Although I believe, Karen, if you believe.
Although it has been cold enough here that I've.
Oh gosh, yeah. Let's say so. We went to Knott's Berry Farm on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and we did not get to enjoy it as planned. We pretty much ate, saw snow, went home. But here's for once again those not in Southern California. We had this not just a horrible storm, but okay. So a normal cold day in Southern California is 65 degrees, and we bundle up and we're shivering and we're drinking our hot chocolate. On Thanksgiving Day, it was 48 degrees.
Yeah, it was cold. It's been cold.
That is normally a ridiculously cold night for us. So yeah, we went on Friday and we were just there to eat, see the snow, and go home because we were cold.
We're in like a weather get-in here. We are like freaking out.
Yeah.
Me and Samuel went on the gliders. And okay. Our faces were so cold.
Yeah. The surfside gliders, yeah.
I can't imagine doing like a roller coaster. So like just freezing your face.
Yeah, it's just, it's not normal Southern California weather. And we usually go this weekend, like we did. We go there to see all the shopping and all the different cookie decorating. Santa's Cabin has a lot of fun options. We just go, and the shows, but we were so cold. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, let's just get dinner and go.
I won't lie. I rarely go to Knott's Berry Farm to get on anything anymore. Not because I don't like roller coasters, but just because I don't know. I like to go during Christmas time. It's my favorite time to go to Knott's Berry Farm is during Christmas time because they have the shows. They have the Christmas Village, even though it's the same like nine things every year. They have the Merry Christmas Snoopy show. They have all the food. They've really turned it into kind of an event. And so it's, you know, I love that Knott's Berry Farm, Old West-y kind of, you know, Western aesthetic. Even more so than I like the offerings. I mean, the offerings at California Adventure are great. I love the feel of, it feels like old-timey Christmas at Knott's Berry Farm. So
it's a different vibe altogether.
Yeah, very different vibe.
I'm telling you, I'm free Saturday.
Yeah, so okay. I was going to confirm my schedule.
I'm free Saturday.
Yeah, so we could go, John, do you work next Saturday?
No.
So we could go next Saturday. We could probably meet you guys there for lunch, hang out for a few hours, take our kids to our in-laws, come back and get dinner.
Yeah.
And so then we could try two meal options.
All right. Let's all.
Well, I think you have a meal plan. John, do you have a meal plan?
Yeah.
And Chris has a meal plan?
No, but I can buy one for
the
day.
But see, we'll have to bring our kids for lunch, and John and I split our meal plan with our kids. So, but when we come back for dinner, we have our own meal plans and we could split, like, get more
options.
We can
eat oodles of food. And apparently, according to Chris, I can also buy, apparently, a meal plan for
the
day.
Yes, you can buy it for the day.
Oh,
cool.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. I'm glad. We're going to take a look at some of the offerings for Universal Studios and California Adventure and Disney next show. And that'll be in 2 weeks. But for now, you can connect with Vacationland online by visiting our website, vacationlandpodcast.com, our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast. We have a new Twitter handle, which I can never remember. So we are now at Vacation Show on Twitter. And we have an Instagram, our VL Podcast Instagram, where you can see some behind-the-scenes pictures from today's recording, and also maybe possibly some Karen pictures of Karen getting scared by the evil queen.
You can also see that at Karen's Instagram, at Precious with a Z29.
And as always, if you're listening to us on iTunes or watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. I would like to thank everyone for listening, and especially I'd like to thank our co-hosts. Thank you, Brandis. Thank you, John. And thank you, Karen, for being here.
You're welcome.
So from all of us here, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in vacation. We'll see you in 2 weeks for the last show of the year.